But at a part of this series, it's how to build a ship, right? How to build a ship is we're building relationships with other people. And boy, there's been some great, great topics, as Nathan just mentioned. And what I want to do, just to follow up, if you missed last week's, I encourage you to listen online to the teachings. Jay talked about forgiveness and how to apologize and shared some of his own life, you know, realities and things that he's learned. One of the things that has impacted me most is this video that I want you to see. So we'll just start with that. Just as a follow-up from last week, but transition into this week. So, story of forgiveness.
Over the past few years, I've been on this journey of writing songs inspired by the real-life stories that people sent to me. This one story in particular has had a profound impact on me. It hit me kind of hard. It's about a woman who did the impossible, and it made me ask myself if I could do the same. Renee had four kids. Two of her daughters were twins. Megan was coming home from the beach one night with her best friend when their car was struck by a drunk driver named Eric, a 24-year-old kid. Megan lost her life. Eric killed both girls that were in the car. Renee lost her daughter in an instant. Next thing she knows, she finds herself in a courtroom watching this young man, this 24-year-old man, get sentenced to 22 years in prison. Renee wrote to me and said, "I now have a mission that I never would have chosen." What she meant by that is that in the years that follow, she began to travel around to schools and churches and different functions, and she would speak about the dangers of drunk driving. But as the years progressed, she felt like something was missing from her presentations. And that's when God put it on her heart that she had not forgiven this man who took the life of her daughter. And so she reached out and did the impossible. She reached out to Eric in prison and said, "I forgive you." The ripple effects of that act of forgiveness are still being felt today. That young man's life was absolutely changed because this woman forgave him. He said, "I can't even forgive myself," and she forgave me. Eric said he found his eternal salvation as a result of this act. One by one, all of Renee's family members followed her lead, and they reached out and expressed forgiveness to Eric. So much so that now they describe Eric as part of their family, like a son to Renee. The story doesn't stop there, though. Renee went to the courts along with her family, and she was able to have Eric's sentence cut in half from 22 years to 11 years. This blew me away. The reason she did it is so that Eric could have a second chance at life and so that he could join her in their presentations. She told me that now she shares not only about the dangers of drunk driving, but also about the power of forgiveness.
Amen. Let's pray. God, I need your help. To forgive like that is something I just cannot do on my own. I'm so thankful that life is a gift from you, and you call us to do it. And then you actually tell us that you'll give us the strength to do it. And you, the truth, can set us free. So help us as we forgive in our own lives, as we even seek reconciliation, if possible, in situations, and as we really are going to wrestle with today, how to handle our emotions. Thank you for being here with us, and thank you for powerful stories like this one that you use by your Holy Spirit to help us go from here today changed. I pray all these things in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Wow, right? That's just a snippet, thanks to Nathan's wonderful editing techniques. There's more to that story, and so I encourage you to go to YouTube and watch Story of Forgiveness, Part 1, and you'll hear more about that. And then there's also a follow-up, Story of Forgiveness, Part 2. So combined, it'd be about 10 minutes of your time. Powerful to see how God has used a decision, a willingness to follow his leading, which is to forgive, Did you catch that? It actually led to his eternal salvation. Because she chose to forgive. She lost her own daughter. I mean, unbelievable. But watch it. It's your assignment going home from today. Make a note. Look up Story of Forgiveness Part 1, Story of Forgiveness Part 2. Okay? And a little note just on that. Forgiveness, as we do that, think of it as forgiveness and reconciliation are not the same thing. Right? I can choose to forgive. Andy has hurt me. I can choose to forgive Andy. If Andy keeps hurting me in the same way, like we've talked about in this series, we may have to set boundaries, right? He's an adult. I can't tell him what to do, but what I can say is, Andy, I really appreciate you, but if you choose to do that, Andy, I'm going to need to remove ourselves from this conversation. I'm going to need to remove myself. I can't allow myself to be spoken to that way. Way different than, Andy, don't you dare talk to me that way. See the subtle difference? But reconciliation may not be possible with people in your lives, but choosing to forgive them, to set the prisoner free, I'm the prisoner if I'm choosing not to forgive. I'm the one struggling with the bitterness. So just wanted to make sure that before we move on to handling emotions in general, that's one of the hardest things to do. First of all, to be willing to forgive. God help me to be willing to forgive. Second of all, well, what do I do if this person keeps doing an abusive thing to me? Am I just supposed to keep forgiving and then walk into the situation and keep forgiving? On the one hand, yes, between you and God to choose to forgive. But on the other hand, reconciliation may look different. There may only be able to be a certain distance that you can work with that person until their behavior changes. You may get full reconciliation. So there's different layers. It's just more complicated than we have time to get into, but just know that the choice to forgive is possible in every situation. Reconciliation may not be possible. That takes two people. But your own individual choice to forgive can be done, no matter what has happened to you, right? And so why I wanted to start with that is not only just the transition and the powerful story, but also how do we handle our emotions in scenarios that we're trying to just, you know, God, help me to know what to do when I'm being faced with hard, challenging emotions sometimes. Some are great emotions. Some are challenging. So what I want you to do just to start off with this piece is we're going to have some fun. We're diving into the deep end of the pool today. So I brought my goggles here. We're going in deep. And so if you don't mind, I'm actually going to take a moment and put on my swim. No, I'm not. I'm not going to put the swim trunks on. But it's at least a visual picture that this isn't easy, putting into practice what Jesus calls us to do. It's not. Sometimes it doesn't feel good, but it's the right thing to do. If it's like in my life, the times I've chosen to forgive, the feelings catch up way down the road. Like, God, help me to do the right thing. It still doesn't feel good. Still doesn't feel good. I've said in my mind, I forgive that person probably 100 times now. Oh, it actually starts, the feeling is starting to come that I actually have forgiven that. It took a long time until the feeling got there. But feelings aren't all bad. Right? If an emergency situation is happening, right? Do we pause and be like, well, I'm going to think through that. If I jumped in and helped, it might be good, it might not be bad, but if it's an emergency and that child, just saw one the other day walking around Boyne City, and I was way over on this side of like kind of by the Eagles, and I just heard a mom yell across the river. Kind of like if you've ever done Stroll the Streets and go back behind Linda's Real Estate, you know that little alleyway. And I just hear this mom just frantically yelling a child's name. And as I'm seeing that play out, I'm like seeing that that child is running right toward the street. He's only one and a half, and she's 25 yards away. He's got about 10 yards till he gets to the street, right? So she is running as fast as she can to catch with him, calling his name, stop, you know, calling his name, stop. A child's not stopping, right? Did she just pause for a minute and be like, you know, I don't want to follow my emotions in that moment. I'm going to try to figure out if I ran, I might pull my hamstring. That's what I think about now at 45. after all those sports, I have to warm up before I sprint? No, right? I even thought, very briefly, can I sprint and get there before? And it was just too, I knew it was too far. I mean, I can run fast and whatever else, but he was so close. So I just prayed, Lord, help him to hear and help him to stop. And her catching up to him, the prayer, whatever else, he stopped. She caught him right before it was too late, right? So there's times when emotions are very, very helpful. And how we handle emotions and how we respond to those emotions, they're a good thing. But also knowledge is key too. So how do we know? How do we know the difference? So I want, just for a fun, I'm going to have you all close your eyes, and I want to just kind of assess where you're at in your life right now in general. Are you more a, I rely more on my thoughts, my brain, my logic, or no, I rely more on my feelings? And again, they're interrelated, so you can't really separate the two. But if you had to in the moment, I'm just curious, the audience that I'm dealing with. So with your eyes closed, you're going to raise your hand right now. If you actually act more on your feelings, you would say. And there's no right or wrong answer here, but go ahead and raise your hand if you feel like, yeah, I think I act more on feelings. Okay, put your hands down. So the rest of you would say, go ahead and raise your hand if you would be more like of a thoughts person, a logic person. Okay. Very good. So thanks. Go ahead and open your eyes. So that helps me understand kind of, it's a mixed picture. You know, I'm in the middle of different responses to different things. And that probably helps us understand if you're married or if you have family members or neighbors. Wow. One may value one more than the other, and that makes interacting a little bit difficult. So how do we figure out how to handle our emotions? Well, the thing I love to do is let's look at our Savior. Let's see what he had to say, okay? And we don't have time to unpack a ton of scriptures. I'm going to power through these, and we're going to then actually then have a chance to dialogue briefly about that too. And if questions come up, I'm trying to leave time that actually there might be a time for a question two or three. Wait a minute. You said this, but what about that? And Jesus said this. Whatever might come up, I want to be able to give you the opportunity to do that. So here we go. The first one is Matthew 18. How do we handle conflict? I was already dealt with somewhat in this series. Feelings might say different than what Jesus said, okay? In general. Again, I'm not against feelings, but sometimes feelings might not encourage you to do this. Or even your thoughts might not encourage you to do this. If another believer sins against you, step one, go privately and point out the offense. If the other person listens and confesses it, okay, you've won that person back. There is reconciliation, if you will. But if you're unsuccessful, step two, take one or two others with you and go back again. And just a caveat real quick, don't grab one or two others that are completely on your side and then like plan that meeting and you're like ransacking, hey, there's three of us that have my view, and not as helpful. Take some maybe unbiased parties that would be willing to be objective as they go to this. Okay, so that everything you say may be confirmed by two or three witnesses. Okay, step one, solo, one-on-one. Step two, a couple others, bring them with you. If the person still refuses to listen, take your case to the church, okay? And someone to interpret that is take it to the church leadership. Doesn't mean I'm standing up right here. Andy, love Andy. Used his name earlier, I'll do it again tonight. Andy, why did you do this? And let me just play this out in front of 40, 50, 60, however many people. Not helpful. That's not what that part means by tell it to the church, right? Okay, so then if that doesn't lead to resolution, right? If he or she won't accept the church's decision, treat that person as a pagan or a corrupt tax collector. Okay, we're going to get into how do we treat our enemies and what that might look like in the next passage, but I tell you the truth, whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. I also tell you this, if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. For where two or three gather together as my followers, I am there among them. So there's context to this whole passage, but there's also context. We use that quote a lot. We or two or three, two or more are gathered, it's a great thing, and amen to that. But its original context is in the midst of conflict resolution. That's when Jesus was teaching on it. So really, really important to remember that we have a Savior that says, I have some thoughts on when you have an issue with someone. Here's some very helpful steps to do that, okay? If you're like me, here's how I feel sometimes. I have an issue with Andy, but I don't know if I want to talk to Andy about it, so I'm going to go talk to Matt about it. Hey, Matt, do you know what Andy did to me? And it was just kind of rough when he said that. And so I feel a little better in the moment because I told Matt about it, but Andy has no idea that I even was offended by Andy. And now Matt, he looks at Andy a little differently because I just told him something. And he's like, did Andy really do that? Or is it true or is it not? And so I just created this triangle of distrust almost that wasn't helpful, right? Now the next time Matt sees Andy, it impacts that. And maybe Andy and I resolve. I didn't tell Matt, circle back and tell Matt that we resolve. See how messy this gets? It really gets messy, right? It really gets messy if we don't follow our Savior's instructions, which we may not feel like following. Huge. I feel like in a Christian community, now let's speak home. I know a lot of this series is we're talking about friends, family members, those that we're closest to. If we would just do this in the Christian community, the world would know that we are Christians by our love. Our workplaces would know there's something different about how they're interacting with one another. And I'm pointing at myself here, right? I'm not perfect in this either. I am not an expert in the things I'm sharing this morning. I am a work in progress. But I think our Savior is onto some pretty important things here. So that's number one. So what about our enemies? What about those that are persecuting us? Matthew 5 has a little bit to say about that, right? We can love one another, those that are being respectful, right? But you've heard the law that says love your neighbor and hate your enemy. By the way, that wasn't a law given by God, okay? But I say love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and unjust alike. If you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even the corrupt tax collectors do that much. If you are kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans do that. But you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Okay. That's a high standard. That's Jesus' words for his followers. I'm calling you to do what I'm doing. I'm not perfect. Right? But he sets this high bar and standard and says, I can help you to do what you don't feel like doing. Simple to understand? Hard to put in practice. If you're like me, I need God's help in the middle of that, right? But imagine that video you saw earlier. Imagine if that mother had not chosen to forgive, okay? Part of what I do is have the privilege of leading divorce care classes. And I can think of someone who chose to forgive. Well, my own story. So it was a divorce 11 years ago. I didn't want to forgive. Didn't think the divorce should happen. I mean, long story. But the Holy Spirit said, I'm still calling you the lover. When I got the divorce papers, I'm still calling you the lover, and I'm still calling you to treat her above reproach. I'm like, what? I don't even know what I have in my hands here. But with God's help, one step at a time, 100 times saying I forgive her, even though I don't yet, Lord, help me to feel like I forgive her. Now, 11 years later, we have a 13-year-old that happened when our daughter was one. Now she's 13 recently, and my relationship with my ex-wife and her husband is healthy. There's co-parenting. My relationship with my ex-in-laws is healthier than it's ever been. Only the Lord can do that. And following what he's asking us to do, I didn't feel like doing that. I didn't. I absolutely didn't feel like doing that. Okay, another moment where I'm talking about feelings in a negative way. There's times where feelings are really helpful, but it, just in my own mind. To follow God's instructions, right? How do we pray, God? You pray this way, and at the end of, you know, the Lord's Prayer, he says, forgive others. And if you don't forgive others, I'm not going to forgive you. Right? That's intense. Okay, Lord. I don't feel like doing it, but your word is crystal clear. So I'm going to try to follow you in that with your help, right? Powerful. Powerful to put that into practice, right? And the rest of the story that you're going to see when you watch your YouTube homework, the lives that are being impacted for the choice to follow Jesus and his instructions to forgive. It's enormous, the number of lives that they're getting the chance to impact. God does that kind of multiplication, right? Does it make sense? In some ways, but other ways, it's unbelievably powerful. So another way, Romans 12 is one where we get the chance to read, and I'll power through this one even faster. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think that you know it all. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you're honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, and here we're quoting Proverbs 25. If your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you're going to heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. Wait a minute. Is this scripture saying that we're supposed to throw fire, like light people's hair on fire? What? Throw burning coals on their head? That doesn't feel very good. Yeah, let's get them. Is that what's going on here? No, you're right. It's not. What this means is, right, we have idioms in the original language, Hebrew. They have idioms that would make sense in their language, and ours, that doesn't make sense. What that actually means is, if anything is going to lead them to repentance, you doing good and treating them well would be the thing that would lead them to repentance. Right? So it's the heat burning coals on one's head is a way of acting, hopefully helping to facilitate repentance. So think of it that way. We're not trying to light people's hair on fire. It's not that. Okay? But that's powerful. Overcome evil with good. Right? Overcome evil with good. If they choose to repent, God may use that. It's going to be way better than me trying to treat them with more evil, take revenge, all of those things. Right? And think about the scenarios in your own lives. If someone yelled at you, I'm not a person who generally starts arguments. But if someone throws something at me, how do I handle that emotion? I fire back quickly in the same exact tone that was thrown at me. Right? In my marriage, we had a great friendship and relationship, but boy, if I would stuff them, and then all of a sudden I'd get some tone thrown at me, I could just throw it right back without even, I wasn't thinking. It was a reaction, not a healthy response. So with God's help, I went to some anger management classes and learned, oh, I actually have a choice in that? Really? I don't have a choice. It happens that fast. I do have a choice. I can recognize the situation before I get to that point where it seems like I don't have a choice. And then I can say things like, I'd really love to continue this conversation, but I can't do it right now. If you choose to talk to me in that tone, then I need to leave the room. All these tools that they helped me to know how to say what to do in those moments to handle my emotions so that I don't get to that point where I feel like I am out of control. I'm out of control of making the decision. Right? So that's how we handle those emotions. And how do we do that? We're going to get into the very practical. I want you to have this piece of, practically speaking, Daryl, how does this look? Like, how do I actually get the chance to do this? And there's two basic things. One is intentional breathing. It sounds really basic. And there's an exercise. And where I'm, the materials I'm pulling from, obviously, is the Bible. But I went through a training called Life-Based Crisis Intervention. And real quickly, our brains, if we have high emotions, the logical side kind of shuts off. We can't do high emotions and logic at the same time. We just generally can't. And we all have different degrees on that. So what we kind of need to do is take time to allow the emotions to drain off so that then we can actually make a wiser decision. So how do we do that? How do we actually drain off our emotions? Well, one of those is intentional breathing. The second thing is, and this is from Divorce Care, Single and Parenting. It's a church initiative. I help co-lead. Genesis Petoskey offers that, and I help co-lead that there. And those materials are so good. One of the counselors, pastor counselors, talks about an exercise that helps me. In those moments where you're feeling so emotionally high, you literally, as you're intentionally breathing, you just clench your fists together. And then with the intentional breathing, on the exhale, you slowly then would release and open up your hands. Simple exercise. What's going on there is, I'm breathing, getting oxygen to my brain. I'm feeling the tension. And I'm saying open-handedly, okay, God, I need your help with this. I released it to you, right? In doing that, can help us be at that place of then responding healthy to our emotions and then to our thought processes. So we're going to try that right now. I want you to think of the person or situation in your life right now. No one's saying this out loud. This is all keeping it quiet. You're going to think about that situation right now, okay? And then we're going to just three different times breathe in, clench fist, and then kind of the let go of those emotions and giving those to the Lord, asking the Lord's help open-handed. There's a reason why you're open-handed in that moment is, Lord, I need help. You're reaching up, Lord. You don't have to reach up literally, but open your hand even by your side is saying, God, help me. Okay, so think about that situation, that person that is you can just feel your anxiety level increasing as you think about that scenario, that person, okay? So the first thing, and I'll walk you right through it. It's going to be about a 4-second inhale and a 3-second hold and then a 3-second exhale. We'll do that three different times, okay? So you're thinking about that person, all right? Clench fists, go ahead and go and breathe. 1, 2, 3, 4. Hold it. Exhale slowly. 1, 2, 3. Try that two more times. Clenched fists, breathing in slowly. 1, 2, 3, 4. Hold it. Exhale. 1, 2, 3. Last time. Breathing in. Hold it. Breathe out. I'm hoping, in just an even minute way, that situation, that person feels a little bit different right now. At least your ability to respond to it. It helps me. I have to use this in my life regularly. And I'd encourage you, there's other tools out there, but this is one that I would encourage you to think about using before we follow the fleshly, respond at the same tone that was thrown at you. Or someone pushes you, you push them right back, right? Or my dad was a long-haul truck driver, and he told me the story of someone who became a Christian, and when someone was tailgating him, instead of going like over on the shoulder and allowing the rocks to get in the tires and then going back on the road to throw rocks on their window. Now, right, that's, he thought through it and he had, the person had emotions and whatever else. I'm not sure that was the best response. So now as a Christian, right, they don't follow that practice anymore. They pause, they breathe. I don't know if they do the fish thing, but anyway, you can see where thoughts and emotions are good, but we also need time to drain off emotion so that we can actually respond versus react. And we talked about a few specific emotions today. I think this covers the gamut of whatever emotion you're dealing with, right? And so how do we know the difference? You know, James 1:5 talks about that, and it's very specific in that Proverbs are littered, you know, to be calm, don't be quick to anger. James 1:19, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Throughout scriptures, the value is to, you know, to do that, to breathe, to pause, and then move forward after you're ready to respond. But if you need wisdom, God help me, in any situation we're facing, ask our generous God. He'll give it to you. He'll give it to me. He will not rebuke you for asking, right? Our God doesn't rebuke you for asking. Have you had situations in your life before where, don't ask that question. That's a bad question, right? I'm a guy that there's no such thing as a bad question, right? I think God is too. I don't think he rebukes us for asking questions. I don't think he rebukes us for asking for wisdom, whatever we're facing. So it's a lot there, some simple things, but there's a lot there. Is there any question that has come to mind in the midst of any of that? And there may not be, which is okay, but I just want to leave a few minutes for that, if there is. Amy. Good question. Amy asked, how do you forgive someone if you know that they're going to keep hurting you? Great. So, the idea again, and how I've been taught that, is the separation of forgiveness and reconciliation, meaning, between me and God, God, I choose to cancel the debt they owe me. In other words, they owe me. What they did is wrong. I'm not going to forgive them because they owe me. But I literally, before God, say, I cancel the debt that they owe me. That's one way to look at it. Another way would be that I'm going to treat them the way I would want to be treated, not the way they treated me. So just two ways to look at it. So how many times? Jay mentioned that last week. 70 times 7, 490 times. And that doesn't mean 491, don't do it. It's we keep doing the forgiving. But, again, the reconciliation piece is, if someone keeps hurting me, then it's more complicated of figuring out how can I help, how can I have a healthy boundary. And so that maybe I'm going to not put myself in the same scenario where they can keep hurting me in that way. So probably we need to talk a little bit longer to be able to know the specific of that, but hopefully, can I keep forgiving? Yes, and it takes God's help, but what reconciliation might look like in that relationship, that might be a little more complicated. So thanks for asking. Any other questions? Is a lifelong work that God's doing in each and every one of us, right? So if there's something you didn't want to ask out loud, that's totally fine. I'll definitely be here afterwards, or Nathan, Jenny, any of your leaders here would be glad to probably field the question that you would have as well. Okay? Let me pray, then we'll move forward. So Lord, again, I just ask for your help. We need your help in each scenario that we are facing. Thank you that you are the God that when we ask for wisdom, discernment, your Holy Spirit's leading and guiding, that you grant it. So may we trust you, trust in you with all our hearts, Lord, and lean not on our own understanding, Lord. And in all of our ways, we will acknowledge you so that you can help us in each situation and each relationship that we're navigating. So thank you, Lord, for being so good, for being the great redeemer, restorer of relationships. Thank you for loving us. And we give you the glory. Say these things in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen.